Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Paul.
Yes.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Are you ready for the show next week?
I am ready. The next week's show, I'm going to have to get in training because last time we started drinking scotch, boy, and by after about an hour of doing that, I didn't know what the rest of the day looked like.
Crackling fire. Okay, just to remind everybody, next week we are giving away a couple of in-home grooming for pets that were gifted to us by Beair Company.
It's a hair dryer.
It's basically
pets.
A hair dryer for pets.
Dogs,
so,
yeah.
You know, we're going to the dogs next week.
Which, right, sounded so wild to me, almost silly, and yet when he explained it, it made so much sense.
Right, and we'll go over that again. But anyway, I'm glad to see you. And you know, people always look at the show. I hope they do.
Here, let's switch so everybody can see you too. Here.
Oh, are we on Facebook?
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Oh, here. Say hi, Dr. Roth.
Hi there.
So I got Dr. Ivor Roth with me today as a guest, and I've known Dr. Roth for a number of years now, and ironically, we just shared a story about how small the world is because he was instrumental in providing care for a neighbor of mine, Dave, in San Clemente.
That's right.
And it was kind of funny because, you know, it reminded me, I'm 52 years old, it reminded me...
You're just a wannabe. You're not a real baby
boomer. Ignore the
you're
baby boomers in the room, in the corner. Okay. That's Paul, the baby boomer prototype right here we have in the show, right? He talked me into doing a baby boomer show, and I'm not a baby boomer.
That's right.
And I think all he needed was a sidekick so that he could actually just have airtime, right?
That's
As we get older... And we do deal with seniors on the show, and we talk about it, but it's more of a journey of aging. And as we get older, things that are we take for granted, you know, we're all invincible, right? Nobody's going to get hurt. We don't, you know, I'll just put some, you know, Neosporin on this thing, and it'll be fine, right? But it's actually important to take care of ourselves.
Well, you said
regardless of age.
You said your buddy didn't do that, and he could have lost
his
toe.
Well, the story goes, and Dr. Roth, without divulging any particular specifics on the patient specifics, but my understanding is that he basically had been traveling, and he contracted some sort of something on his foot, and he didn't even give it 2 seconds of thinking, and then he happened to be visiting a friend of his who said, why are you limping? And he says, blah, 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 and he goes, you got to go see the doctor right now. And good thing he did.
Yes. He had actually had an infection for approximately 9 months. And yeah. He kind of didn't pay much attention to it. And
wow.
Yeah. So he was a football player and realized that he had numbness underneath his big toe, which was from his old back injury. And he noticed there was a little hole under his big toe, and the way he took care of it was he glued it together.
any particular brand of glue since we're on it?
No, it was super glue. Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, so
he put super glue on to glue it together and forgot about it for 9 months.
Yeah, basically he would see it would split open and he'd put a little glue on it and kind of ignored it. And then he took this trip to Florida. And what he told me was he passed out for about 48 hours. Yeah, because he had what's called septicemia. So his leg was, from his toe up to his groin, was very swollen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and red. And then he went to the hospital, emergency room and whatnot, and then flew back and saw his, happened to be speaking to an attorney friend of his. And the attorney said, you need to go take care of that right away. Because he was kind of in denial.
And 9 months, yeah.
Yeah, I think nine months. And wow. So I saw him, and it was a direct admission right into the hospital.
So how often do you see that kind of denial?
That kind of denial is actually pretty rare. I do see people that wait till the 23rd hour on occasion, but it's actually last Thanksgiving, not this one, but the last I had the exact same story, very close to it. Another fellow, direct admission right into the hospital, immediate surgery to fix him up.
So is this something that's more like guys basically ignore? Is it gender specific, more frequency wise?
Well, it happens to be from people that can't feel. So that goes into diabetes. The patient from the previous Thanksgiving, right, he was a diabetic. He didn't feel it, didn't really mean anything, even though his leg was completely swollen up. He just kind of ignored it. And the same thing with this patient, because he didn't have diabetes, but he injured his back and he had numbness. So that leads to a big problem is those patients with lack of feeling, sensation in the foot. They need to look at their feet on a regular basis, whatever that is, whether it's...
So what is, I mean, you know, we get a lot of exposure just culturally, you know, like, you know, I mean, with women, you know, you examine yourself, you know, even with guys, it's certain things to do to look out for, right? When it comes to feet, you're saying we should examine, like, keep an eye on. What should people be looking for?
Well, the problem with the foot, it is the most ignored part of the body. It's the furthest away. We have problems seeing it. May especially as you get older, have problems bending over.
Flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility issues and things like that.
Right.
So specifically, if you're a diabetic, you should at least look at it once a week. And if you can't bend your foot, get a mirror and look underneath, because if you, for lack of feeling, you could be, you know, walking on a little pebble or whatever and develop a hole.
And you're not aware of it because you have no feeling in that area.
Right, exactly.
So diabetics don't have feeling in their extremities, like their hands or their feet? Or?
Well, that's one of the symptoms of diabetes is lack of feeling, yes. Yeah.
So it's as prevalent as it is these days, I mean, it's just... Diabetes
is going crazy, yeah, because...
All the crap we eat.
Well,
and lack of exercise.
It's a lack of exercise. That's what it comes down to, being overweight and lack of exercise. So it's a huge problem. But having said that, going back to just general foot hygiene.
Yeah, what are some of the common foot problems?
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest one is fungus of the feet, which people don't, you know, athlete's foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to kill you. You see dry, scaly skin. 99% of the time, dry, scaly skin on the bottom of the foot usually is a chronic phase of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, you'll see little blisters, and it may be itchy, and it might ooze. But after that period of time, it's just dry, scaly skin. And if you don't take care of it, then it gets into the toenails. And so I would say 50% of the adult population has some form of fungus of the skin.
50%.
50%. It's huge.
I want you to take your socks off right now.
I'm not taking your socks off. You're buying me dinner first. I'm not taking my socks off for you.
You know, can I add something, though, because you're laughing about your friend here, but that's something I would do. And that's something many of my baby boomer friends would do, especially the guys. We're not going to go to the doctor for a little thing in our foot any more than we are for a little spot or a thing or whatever. We're just not going to go, because if we don't go, there's no problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Actually, it's mostly the wives and girlfriends that get
the guys.
Them
to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because they don't want to be touching those feet and next to them.
So 50%, yeah, get those things away from me, right? Yeah.
No, I know many guys, and they'll just, particularly in their 50s or even as they get into their 60s here, and they're just going to say, I never go to the doctor, and I'm not going to the doctor for something silly like this. It'll just go away.
And yet it's kind of crazy, right? Because that is probably
the
most impacted part of your body. I mean, you're on it all the time. You're constantly on your feet. God knows if your shoes that you're wearing are appropriate for your feet, right? I mean, most people don't even think that far, right?
And one of my best friends was out. He was a road warrior, so he was out on the road all the time making big six-figure incomes here. And he did something in his mouth, and he got like an infection in his tooth or something around there. He didn't go to the dentist. He just took a sewing needle, and punctured it and had all the ooze and stuff. He just treated it.
You've been watching Clint Eastwood movies again?
Yeah. I mean, that's the world we're in. Be tough. Suck it up. Just puncture it, paste it, glue it, and get on with life.
So how serious is this when people don't pay attention to their feet? I mean,
well, it's... You know, the athlete's foot toe fungus of the world, the nails, isn't going to probably kill you.
Right.
But what will really impact your life and what people really don't know is just like the human body, it comes in many shapes, forms, varieties. And
we've had them all in here.
Yeah. And I like to give an example. It's just like most people need glasses to see, you know, mm-hmm. to really have good vision. And because the feet, again, are ignored part of the body, what you don't understand is, quote-unquote, perfect feet mm-hmm. Are pretty rare. So that great variety of foot problems, you can think of it as like eye problems, is out there. So pretty much...
Uncommon.
And very common. But
right.
the problem is, it's unless you have very acute symptoms. So in other words, you sprain your ankle or you get heel spur syndrome, which is kind of a big problem. But those are heel spur syndrome and foot problems are problems that you're essentially born with. So in other words, the foot not functioning in its proper position will cause problems. But the thing is, it's very slow, insidious. So what you don't see is this. For instance, my son's on the Corona del Mar track and cross-country team, and I look at the runners on the team, and the vast majority of them have foot problems, and yet they're running competitively and whatnot. And from their perspective, we can tune those foot problems up, just like you can put glasses on and see 20/20. We can tune a foot up and have it work essentially normal if you come see us.
So there's actually an improved performance factor in this if you're actually engaged in looking at your feet and looking at what condition there.
Now you might sell me. If I could do better at something, then I might pay attention to this. Other than that, it's my foot. I'm not looking at it. Although I could, if you really wanted to, I could take my socks off and show you a picture of a perfect foot.
Oh, thank you.
Because I do have a perfect foot.
I don't think thank God I didn't have lunch yet. But I know that you've been involved, Dr. Arthur, you've been involved in that aspect. I mean, you're mentioning your son's track and field team in Corona del Mar, but I know you are also involved with the Pacific, was it the Ballet?
Ballet Pacifica.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so...
They must have lots of...
So again, you know, what we're talking about here is the depth and sophisticated experience that may be beneficial to that professional dancer or that track and field star or whatever, pro athlete, but also that the common person...
Let me tell you about the common person. So what we
benefits
don't...
Benefits from that.
Yeah, so from a performance point of view, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, basically, everybody that's in sports should have their feet looked at and tuned up. But more importantly is the average person. And they walk around, and they may not have any symptoms, but that's
right.
the problem with foot problems.
You don't know.
That you don't know. It's a subtle problem, and then 30 years later, your knee wears out.
Mm-hmm.
Your hip goes, and you have lower back problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you can relate that all to the structural foot, because the foot is a foundation for the body.
Right.
So if the foot's in a poor position, guess what? The knee, the hip, the back, they're all in poor positions. And I like to compare it to like a tire. So if a tire's got 70,000 miles of life when it's new, and they're on the
wearing
car.
Wearing down the tread.
The balance is off. The alignment is off.
Yeah, so if your alignment's off, you're driving down the road, everything feels fine. You don't know anything. But when you look at the tire, you notice that one side is worn out prematurely.
Yep.
You got to throw the tire away. If one corner's bald, the whole tire's ruined.
Right.
And that's your knee.
And your life expectancy on that tire is now less as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So that's why people get operations on their knees, hips, and lower back, whether it's be implants or whatever. But it goes even further than that. It goes to the point of being waking up and being pain-free and enjoying your life. So to get to the point where you have to have surgery, that's an event.
Exactly.
But you know, if you can't stand or walk for long periods of time because your legs get tired or you have knee pain, those are all things that can be avoided. And think about the lost amount of time for work. I mean, if someone has back pain,
sure.
knee pain, and they're off workers' compensation, time off, productivity, a lot of it's related to foot conditions. And one of the reasons I wanted to come here today was to inform your listeners that if not them to be looked at, please think about your children, because
sure.
those children can essentially, their foot problems can be fixed without surgery.
Well, it sounds to me like it's a preventive thing. I mean, if you're engaged and involved in it, so we talk about this on all kinds of medical conditions, all kinds of just ways of living life, right? If you're proactive in engaged in what it is that you are paying attention to, then likelihood is that you can do something. Like if you catch it, if you go in and you're aware that you have to, check your feet to make sure that you know what condition you are in, what is it that your body is doing or not doing, then you have a chance to adjust that. You have a chance to improve your quality of life, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. But when you say adjust, okay, adjustment is for maybe the adults. We can help them and improve their life. But the children, let me try to give you an example.
Sure,
so just like braces, you can have really bad teeth and
right.
put braces on and they're essentially perfect, right? And the same thing with scoliosis. If you have a bent back and mm-hmm. we put you in a brace while you're growing,
right.
you can grow the back straightened into a straightened position. It's the same thing with foot problems. So we can take a child and as long as we catch them before their growth spurt and essentially through their growth spurt, we can actually, by putting specially biomechanically controlled devices in their shoes, mm-hmm. and they wear them all the time, they not only will perform better while they're wearing them, but their feet will actually grow into a corrected position.
Reshape. Yeah, I'll tell you from personal experience. I remember growing up, and we lived in overseas in the Middle East, and we would vacation every summer in the UK. And part of the regimen that I hated, but it is something that happened every summer, is that I went in, actually, and I had flat feet. And I went into Dr. Scholl's, and basically, I got whatever that year I needed for that brace that I put in my shoe, and I basically wore in my shoe. And so I know from personal experience that over time, because I got involved, or because my parents got me involved early enough in that, that the pain that I used to suffer from flat feet subsided over the number of years. Is it gone away completely? Do I have the most perfect arch? No, I don't. But I definitely remember the pain before.
Right.
And then the result of actually going through that sort of preventive or corrective, if you want to call it.
Can I ask you a question, though? Because I just went for my annual checkup and went to my doctor, just my general practitioner. And, of course, he said, well, at your age, you better get a shingle shot. That's something that might start popping up at your age. You better check out your heart. He never once said, let's look at your feet.
Right.
Even looked at my feet.
Yeah, like I said, it is the most ignored part of the body. And that means that we have the greatest opportunity to make changes now. Like you were mentioning about having arch supports as a kid.
Yeah.
And the new arch supports now, the newest generation, can actually improve the foot so much so that it will actually, just like braces, grow into almost a perfect foot.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And my son is a perfect example of that. I actually, when he was two and a half, three, started complaining of knee pain ran or did anything, put him in arch supports. Actually, it's a great story, and I have twins, a boy and a girl. They both were born with pretty bad feet. And I, early on, said to myself, I'm going to have to do surgery when they get a little older, mm-hmm. whatever that meant. So they both complained of foot pain, not necessarily foot pain, but tired legs, knee pain.
Sure.
And so I had them in arch supports till they were 10 or 11. Mm. And then a new generation of arch supports came out, and I said, I'm going to trade them up to these new arch supports. And unfortunately, divorce came around that period of time. And so my son lived with me. My daughter did not live with me. And they had similar feet, both of which, in my opinion, at that point, probably still needed surgery. But I put my son in the newest type of arch supports, and he wore them religiously because they felt great. And we were able to mold his feet. And at this point in time, now he has almost normal feet. Unfortunately, my daughter did not want me to make arch supports for her, and she still has very bad feet that certainly she'll have problems with the rest of her life.
It's an amazing personal reference point for you,
it's
right?
It's terrible, but it's a true story.
Yeah.
And so, from a running,
and your son's running track.
Well, from a running point of view, I want to tell you this: before he got the new orthotics, he could participate in the on in track, but he was always in pain and complaining of problems, and he was at the bottom of the of his group. Once I put him in the new arch supports, his performance went up, and his pains went away. And he went from the bottom of the group to the top of the group. He went into varsity, which he would never be able to have been capable of doing with his bad feet. He just physically had too much pain and disability. But we completely turned around. And now he wants to run in college.
Well, and here's a child. I mean, I'll talk from my own personal reference points as a young man. Here's a child. Here's a guy that now that basically doesn't have to deal with that reference point. Now he is beyond. He has a different outlook. Because of exactly what you just did.
Do your feet change negatively over time? Do they get flatter again?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, everything.
everything gets flatter.
You either go up the hill or down the hill in this particular case. Nothing gets better on its own.
Paul, are you signaling we need to take a break?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a break and come back because it's a good transition into talking about some of the stuff that people maybe of an older age basically are dealing with.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right. So we're back with Dr. Ivor Roth, and I wanted to, we have a couple of pictures to share with everybody. And, Doctor, why don't you walk us through these? Paul, you get those up on the screen?
Yeah, I don't know if you can see that one there.
So what are we looking at there?
Yeah, I'm going to have to put my glasses on.
Okay, that's okay.
All right. We have some bad toenails.
We have some bad toenails, yeah,
right,
okay.
Yes, and
this one's yellowed, and it's red, and... And they look kind of bony too.
So are the what the pictures are sort of before and after of what?
Right.
What condition?
Well, it's a toenail fungus, which is like we were mentioning before, a huge problem, especially of the as you age. Like I said, just about 50% of the population.
This one actually looks black. Will it actually get black and fall off over a period of time? Or?
Well, it could.
So that's the before, and then this is the after, doctor?
This one looks very yellow.
No. After, yes, yeah. It is, yes.
So it's a before and after. And what do you do when you have a condition like that? What can people do?
Sure, okay. Well, this is one of those conditions that a lot of people try to treat at home, and they'll try various things. Listerine they'll put on their foot, or Vicks Vapor Rub. And
whatever you can find.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever you can find. And
I've seen lots of people, I'm sorry to say, as I get older, my friends, you know, you go to the beach or something, I see a lot of toes that look like this.
Oh, they're ugly. Yeah. So, although if you have a very minor nail condition, you can maybe reverse it a little bit with some of those things. But if you have a really bad toe condition, which is very common, nail condition, we now have treatments that can take care of this very effectively. So what I've been working on for just absolutely years is how to solve this problem. So, for instance, I do a multi-prong approach because no one treatment is going to resolve this problem. Mm-hmm. So I hit it from four directions. The four directions are the following. I have a laser at my office that is specifically made for toenails.
Okay.
And I'll laser them if necessary. We'll put them on a low dose of medicine. So okay. We don't typically put them on the big dose. We'll clean up the toenails with treatments, cut the nails and burn them down and things like that. And then we have a topical treatment. So patients have to become very involved. But it's straightforward and it's fairly easy. And within 6 months, we can take a bad nail and turn it into pretty much a perfect nail now, pretty much.
So again, you don't have to live with it.
So, the person themselves have to be engaged in their own wellness and grooming.
Right. There's no magic pill that's going to take care of this. And let me tell the listeners this, I'd like to share this, that fungus grows in wet conditions. Mm-hmm. Fungus is mold, which is a plant. We water plants, so they grow. So if you take a shower and you don't dry your feet while it's drying, so
very
to speak, you're watering the plants. So I tell them to do two things. One, dry your feet with a towel. Of course, that's a no-brainer. But here's the secret. And the secret part takes 30 seconds. Take your hair dryer out. Dry the bottom of your foot. Dry between your toes. And use your fingers to kind of feel. And then dry your nails. I do it every day. It takes 15 seconds each foot, but that's the key. You'll be surprised after you dry your foot with a towel how wet it still is, especially between the toes and the nails. So you do that little routine, and that dries up the environment.
Changes. Preventive maintenance.
Yeah, it's
Can
really
I ask you some baby
too.
Boomer, aging baby boomer
sure.
questions here?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've seen this a lot, and people just sort of accept it. As you get older, your toenails get yellow and ugly and all that kind of stuff, and people just live with it. So they don't have to live with that. Another one. We were the first generation to grow up with flip-flops. My parents never wore flip-flops, so we grew up at the beach, walking around barefoot, walking around flip-flops all the time. Practically everybody I know out here does that. What does that do to your foot? I would think it would not help your arches. It doesn't help your exposing your feet to all sorts of stuff. Is that a problem, or am I just imagining?
Well, it's like everything. You know, moderation is the answer. But flip-flops have no support, and they're fairly dangerous, but in the sense that you can trip and fall with them quite easily. But really, from a foot point of view, they offer no support, and therefore they're not good. A good supportive shoe, like a running shoe, if you don't have to get dressed up or whatnot, a running shoe, a good supportive one, what they call an anti-pronation running shoe, that's a very inexpensive
pronation
way.
Meaning your toes, your feet bend together, right?
Well, pronation means that your foot goes, your arches turn in.
Right.
Yeah, your ankles
they collapse
turn in.
On the inside,
they collapse. So your knees turn in. It's when your foot moves, the rest of your body moves. So a high quality running shoe is key. But again, I would really recommend that everyone, just like you go to the dentist once a year, at least get checked up by a podiatrist at least, once in your life, if not on a regular basis. But for instance, with the toenail problems and all that, if you go in once a year, it's kind of a tune-up. You can see what's going on and you can get tuned up.
Look, you either take, you're either active in your own wellness and or you're not. And I think...
Or you're in denial, like most baby boomers are, right? But, we're not going to do it.
So, but you heard,
pointing at ourselves.
But you heard it here, Paul. Flip-flop wear within moderation. from the doctor himself.
Moderation.
Let me give you a couple others that I'm seeing now that I never thought of, because now that you got my brain thinking of people I know that have had foot problems. I've had a number of friends, all men. I don't know if this is just because they're on their feet a lot and they're all like road warrior kind of guys. But they have had circulation issues in their feet that have led to sores that won't go away. And the one guy, actually, I knew a guy that had to have his foot, I guess he must have had diabetes too or something.
Yeah, I think he'd have to have diabetes.
He had his foot amputated because the sore would never heal. And I thought, oh my God, a sore that'll never heal. And then my friend that died a year ago here from heart disease, he was having the same issue. Is that
I've never heard of this, but all of a sudden I know people that are having these problems with their feet like this.
And with the frequency of diabetes, okay, there's also the added danger. Like you can go into, and when we first met, one of the things that you were talking about, because I want to also bring the conversation around to your new clinic, your new location that you have, you just moved into about a week ago, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, we
have some pictures.
All those flip flops that you're talking about, Paul.
Right.
Everybody's walking around in flip flops and open-toed shoes. Okay, they're showing off all their nails and their toenails and you know their polish and all this stuff, right? But
right.
We also have a propensity of diabetes in this country, right? And so to go places where you basically don't have somebody who is consciously aware of your nails and diabetes and you know bleeding and all this stuff, and oh, I'm just going to go get a you know pedicure. Right?
Right.
That could be dangerous.
It could be dangerous.
And what about that other one?
So you need to actually go to the right people to do that.
And didn't they have some issues here in Orange County? Because I'm not picking on any group, but there's a lot of Vietnamese nail salons. Weren't they having issues?
Like I said, he's the baby boomer.
Weren't they having issues where women were getting infected feet and stuff because they weren't being properly meeting health standards or other sorts of things?
I mean, this is the more
I hear a lot of this.
This is the more aesthetic side of it, but it's equally a serious conversation.
Well, they go in for the aesthetics, but they end up coming out with something nasty.
It is. And so that's why, and thank you for asking, that's why I've opened up Concierge Podiatry and Spa in Newport Beach, because we have specialized services for medical pedicures. So if someone has poor circulation, they are a diabetic, they're on medicines, mm-hmm. Then you shouldn't really be going for a regular pedicure. You need to go to professionals that know how to provide the services in a safe environment. And, of course, not only have they been trained to do this, but we, the podiatrists, are there. So if there is a little problem, we can take care of it right on the spot.
Right. The technician providing the service needs to know and have been trained.
Absolutely.
And be aware of what the conditions are. And having a physician on the premises is an additional safety for that procedure to be taking place.
So when it gets yellow, you just don't paint it?
Okay, Paul. Paul.
Yes.
I'm not talking polish colors with you, right? Do me a favor. Pull up some of the images of Dr. Roth's new place while he talks us through this. Because I know that this has been a passion of yours, and I think, you know, I'm involved in the spa industry on the design side, and I will tell you that, you know, it's an ongoing worry.
It's pretty attractive looking. This is all brand new. You must have just moved in because I don't see any furniture or anything
here. Those were the pre-move-in photos.
These are the pre-move-in photos. So where is the location, Dr. Roth?
Well, it's I chose a location that would be easily accessible, and it's in Newport Beach, right off Newport Boulevard. So it's off of old Newport Boulevard, but you can see it on Newport Boulevard. So it's almost by Hoag Hospital.
So it's on the other side. If you're heading towards the coast, it's on the left side of Newport Boulevard, right?
Yeah, it's on the left side of Newport Boulevard.
Right.
That's correct. And I have a nice sign up there. So if you look up, you'll see Concierge Podiatry and Spa. And
some nice modern building, if I remember. It was like sort of Art Deco a little bit.
I would call it kind of a cutting edge building.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's kind of looks like a wave. If
it's got a wave feel.
Yeah,
to it,
and it's got portholes in it. Yeah, it's a beautiful building.
Yeah, yeah.
And great location for the new
spot. Most people don't know. I think most people, unless they're familiar with the area, don't know that there's a parallel street right there that's old Newport Boulevard.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And that's where.
This doesn't look like a typical doctor's office. I mean, it's very attractively furnished. It doesn't look like the typical white sterile that I've seen.
What made you go this path? I mean, I know you've always been cutting edge. Okay, I know from just background that I've done, and I knowing you and some of the stuff that you've been involved, that you've always kind of pushed the limit. You've always looked beyond what was maybe common practices and tried to find better ways, improvements, innovations in certain things, right?
Yes.
Is this sort of in that same vein, this new location?
Absolutely. What I wanted to do was build a state-of-the-art facility where we could provide these new services that really heretofore haven't really been offered. And so it's not like I took an existing office and kind of revamped it. I actually built the office
from the ground up.
To provide these services. So it's actually made to provide these services, and it has a medical side and a spa side. So at all times, I'm in the facility and available. And the medical side rooms even have specialized treatment. For instance, we have hydro massage for the legs, mm-hmm. something that's never been done before. And so it's a good feeling, and it also, from a cleanliness point of view, you think of the medical pedicure spas,
you know,
there's always a question of cleanliness and things like that.
Right.
So we did a couple things. One, we have this hydro, it's a 3/4 horsepower motor that's causing the water to be like a jacuzzi,
yeah.
and up to the knee, and it really massages the feet and legs,
right.
and it's a medical grade equipment. And then in the spa part, we have bowls that are cleaned between each treatment, and so it's not a static.
Well, right, because there's a major concern in the industry for recirculation water.
Right,
and
exactly.
standing water
and
bacteria.
We don't recirculate. Right. There's no drains to worry about, things like that. So, that was very – I was very cognizant of that. I wanted the clients that came into my facility to know that they were getting a brand new bowl that had been cleaned just for them, and that's for the soaking purposes. But the same thing for the treatments. The instruments have been selected very specially, and they've been autoclaved and cleaned, and of course the technicians know exactly what to look for if
right.
there's a problem.
So again, I think people that are in the habit of, for example, I think it's very common for, especially with women, to do the manicure, pedicure on a regular basis. As we get older, as things maybe change,
what do you mean maybe change?
Well, my point is that both health wise, physique. All these things.
Your body changes, yeah.
Right? Exactly. So maybe taking what is already a habit to do, and taking a moment and actually having a professional like Dr. Roth review the situation.
Right.
You might actually be able to continue to be involved in your aesthetic or in your health, but at the same time do it in an environment like this new facility. Because I know from just what I see happening in the industry is that the medical and the wellness are merging.
Absolutely. Sure.
And it makes so much sense.
And it's being driven by a number of factors. One of them is sort of this preventive approach to medicine, which is mm-hmm. if you take a more active role in your health and well-being, then you're less likely to have to face
and that's one thing that baby
like
boomers,
the 24th hour kind of situation.
Especially baby boomer women, like my wife, are more and more preaching this preventative, because we're going to live longer, as we talked about, than ever before. So we don't want to end up like our parents, obese, diabetic, invalid, unable to walk.
Well, and there's a dollars and cents aspect to it too. I mean, if you engage, it's like everything else. If you preventively get involved early enough, then you have more. You're empowered to actually be more capable of making decisions versus being faced with the reality of this is what I have to deal with now. And now, like we're talking about with Dave.
Sure,
I got to go see a doctor right now, and whatever it takes, I'm going to have to do it.
Right. It was an emergency situation.
It was an emergency situation.
Yeah.
And because of what could have been taken care of quickly, he ended up almost losing his toe or his foot
right.
or something.
So again, I will say that, there's a merging coming together, which actually is very positive, that people are having a higher consciousness of awareness of being involved in their health and well-being. But where do I go to have that kind of customized attention? And this is one of those.
And if you're going to go do these services anyway, like you said, a lot of women go get pedicures, very common, particularly here in Orange County. Why not be someplace that people can evaluate and catch a problem early, rather than somebody that's just going to, make your foot feel
better?
Dr.
Roth, I'll give you an example. We've had conversations just on, not necessarily on the medical from your practice or your area of expertise, but. We've had just general conversations where people, even they're aging, used to be that, used to be you get older, you move to the desert. Now the people that are older are staying in their homes on the coast, and the young people that can't afford to live on the coast
right.
are basically moving to the desert because that's where I can afford to actually get a place to live.
Right.
Right. So, there's these shifts that are happening that are completely different because you got 78 million
new patterns
basically now basically right. forming this profile of end user. But you also have a baby boomer population that's, 50% divorced, that isn't going to go live in the Balboa Cottage model or go live in the little, you know, Laura Ashley, you know, all shabby chic kind of thing. Some people want to live on that fourth and fifth and seventh story high rise. They want a loft. Some people don't want to deal with the lawn. Some people want that small cottage in Laguna Beach. There's no one size fits all anymore. So we've been talking to people about, well, okay, so how do you provide this sort of health and exercise and fitness and all this stuff together? And now we're looking at it's not a fitness club. It's not a medical. It's a wellness center. But the wellness center isn't just a gym-oriented or environment or a
it's customized
aesthetic
to you.
Spa-oriented environment.
Yeah.
It actually has a medical well-being component.
And it adapts to your needs,
correct,
not just a one.
And the way the service delivery is also changing because of that.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, service delivery. So each new client that comes in is actually seen by one of the podiatrists or myself for a 5 or 10 minute evaluation before they receive their pedicures. And so we're informing them of anything that we happen to see so that they know and have some knowledge before they go get their pedicure. So it's really nice because we can avoid and notice a lot of problems before they...
Right off the bat.
Yeah, that's
included. Let me ask you another baby boomer complaint I hear. My wife has this one. Bunions. Where it's like the bone actually starts growing on your foot here or something. Isn't that what a bunion is, I guess? Or
a bunion is a structural problem. And again, that if you catch it early... Now, when I say catch it, you say it's a bone growing. Well,
that's what it looks like. It's
like he practices medicine without a license.
No. There's an arthritic component of it where there is bony growth. But really what it is that the big toe bone itself is coming out of the socket and it starts going out, so to speak. So that's part of the mechanics of the foot. So if you catch that early, meaning as a kid, and wear the arch supports, you can stop that whole process from happening or slow it down or whatever. But once you get to the point where it's protruding and it's big and painful and you can't wear your shoes, of course, at that point, you really don't have much choice. You have to have surgery.
Right. And what do they do? Do they literally just shave this protruding bone? I mean, my wife looks like it looks like a bone is like growing on her foot or something.
At that point, there's many, many different ways to do it. Sometimes it is as simple as knocking the bump off, as we say, and other times we have to structurally put the foot back into the corrected position. But whatever it is, nowadays with outpatient surgery, these are all outpatient surgery. They're essentially painless surgeries. And
because she's frightened to do it. She thinks it'll be very painful, her foot, and she thinks she'll be out of work for a long period of time. And that's what's keeping her.
She's
struggling along, having difficulty wearing shoes.
You know where to send her now.
I do. That's why I'm trying to get a referral here.
So Dr. Roth, I know we have a few more minutes, and I wanted to, because you are who you are as far as I've always thought of you as being somebody who's always looking forward, what's next. I want to ask you, what are some recent advances in your field of medicine?
Well, I think the most recent advances are ones we've kind of touched on, which are really common. And I think the two biggest ones are, and I would like to explain this so you can appreciate that, the arch supports that are available now are so much different than what was available before. And so I'd like to tell the audience that when you go to the shoe store and they have these little inserts that they make for you, they're better than nothing.
Right.
You know, they're helpful. But if you really want to get quote-unquote tuned up and just get 20/20 vision for your feet, then you really need to see someone like myself who is involved with the latest care and techniques for the arch supports.
So is it still an insert in the shoe?
It's still an insert for the shoe, but it's the way that the foot is casted. We no longer use plaster casts. The newest technique is to put the foot in its corrected position, and then we cast it, quote unquote, with a special type of foam, and then we can. But when I say put the foot in a special position, we literally put the foot in its perfect position. You can do that. You can adjust the foot, and then we capture that with a mold, so to speak, and then we scan it and send it off to the lab.
And that mold supports it and keeps it in that position.
Right. So the idea is that we redistribute the weight through the entire foot.
The way it should be.
The way it should be, and actually put the foot in its corrected position. So what that means is that some conditions like hammer toes and neuromas and heel spurs and all that, those over time will go away by wearing the corrected arch support. But those are unfortunately only available in a few offices because, like anything, it's new technology.
Sure.
And most of the doctors, for whatever reason, hold on to the old technology and just keep doing the same old thing, which, again, it's okay, but it's not.
Better than nothing, but it's not the best that's out there.
No, it's we've had so much.
You know
much
what the irony is? As I'm listening to this, you know, because we think foot, that's the last thing I'm going to worry about. What killed the music artist Prince? It was the fact that he was short, so he's wearing these high-heeled boots and stuff to make himself look cool. And over time, he got such pain that he became addicted to these painkillers.
Well, let me tell you about it. That's an interesting story.
Okay. His feet killed him.
I'll tell you this, and that is that I'm working with the same custom shoe manufacturer that made all of Prince's shoes. I'm working with them right now, and we have just came out. Just finished the first prototype of a new high heel, and I put it on a shoeaholic who has hundreds of pairs of shoes. And what we did was this: we were able to make the sole of the high heel into a custom arch support.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and so you by looking at the shoe, you don't know that the sole is actually a custom arch support, and so now all the weight is distributed instead of the front of the foot.
Yeah.
Specifically, it's in the entire foot and the heel, so it takes off a lot of the pressure off the front of the foot. So when you look at this new high heel, let's put it this way. Women will understand this. When you wear a high heel, there's usually a large gap between your arch and the bottom of the high heel.
Yeah.
Now that gap is filled in. It's absolutely filled in, and it takes all the weight.
So you have support on the whole foot.
The whole foot. So we're going to be offering these specialized shoes. There are obviously they're custom made in my new spa. It'll be the first place in the world that you can get them. And we'd like to bring this concept out throughout the United States to all the foot doctors.
See what I mean? But he's cutting edge. Yeah. He's not just doing manicures and pedicures and with the sensitivity to medical conditions like diabetes. He's also cutting edge fashion in a facility that looks beautiful like everybody was able to see.
Yeah.
Where is the facility, Dr. Roth, and how can people find you?
Well, thank you. It's 495 Old Newport Boulevard, just before you get to Hoke Hospital.
Yeah. And is there a website?
Little parallel
people
street.
Get hold of you.
The website is cps-nb.com, and we're currently working on it because
right. You just moved in last week.
Yeah, we're filling in the pictures and all that, but it'll be up soon. And I really appreciate anybody that wants to optimize on their feet. Come
see,
in.
Off, what's your meanwhile? Because the website is not up yet.
Sure.
How's the way they can get a hold of you? What's your office number?
Yeah, it would be 949-650-1147.
Fascinating conversation.
Yeah.
Really, honestly. I mean, we
a subject matter that most baby boomers don't think about, their feet.
I've been holding back. I didn't want to do any puns. Okay.
But we just got to do one.
But
put your foot in your mouth
now
here.
That's you. Okay. No, I was going to say that we tell people that we really try to bring stuff that is interesting for people in a different way, and we walk the talk.
Oh.
Ooh, that's pretty good. There you go.
Today we walk the talk. Thank you, Dr. Roth, for letting us do that.
I appreciate
you being here.
Thanks so much.
It's really nice to see you.
Thank you.
Okay, and next week we will be back with everybody again. It's our Christmas show, so Paul and I will be hamming it up. So make sure to call in, and we'll have crackling fire and all Christmas spirit over here. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.